All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn to the book of James in the New Testament. The book of James, chapter 1. All right, James chapter 1. And let's begin reading in the first verse, and I will read down to verse 11. All right, but beginning in verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, this James was a half brother to the Lord. All right, this was James, the half brother to the Lord, and he is writing this now to the nations, to the Christians that are scattered around the nations, all around. All right, so verse 2, watch carefully. My brethren, count it all, what's the next word?
Joy.
Well, we don't do that, do we? We don't do that. But James says, count it all joy when ye fall into divers, meaning different, into various different divers temptations. Now, the temptation here is a trial, and I'll show you that in just a few moments. But he said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, divers trials. All right, why? Well, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. All right, so I've had Christians say to me through the years, well, Pastor, I'm praying for patience. No, don't do that. According to this verse, patience comes from trials. So you're praying for trials is what you're doing. And I don't know that that's too wise of a thing for you to be doing. Amen? All right, so he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now notice, double-minded. How can you be a double-minded person? Well, you can be. You can be saved and have a spiritual mind, but then you can also have a worldly mind. And so, whichever one occupies you, whichever one runs you. And then you come to church, you live like the devil through the week, and then come to church and put on your spiritual face for a couple of hours. Well, James says, if that's you, then you are unstable in all of your ways. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. All right, I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of turning our trials into triumphs. Turning our trials into triumphs. Folks, we are living in a world with a lot of trials these days. Everywhere you look, we are seeing the people of God having to go through just trial after trial after trial. And in verse 2, James says that we are to count it all joy when we have to face the different trials that come along in our lives. All right, let's pray together, and then we will look at this first chapter of James. Father, I want to thank you so much for the Word of God. And Father, I want to thank you that this passage of Scripture gives us ammunition whereby we can fight the devil, where we can stand and just be what we ought to be for the glory of God. And so, Father, I pray you'll help us tonight to get a little glimpse on how to triumph in the trial instead of cower and instead of being defeated. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to trust you and to realize that when you are putting us through the trial, it is for a purpose. And Father, we must trust you in the middle of that trial, knowing that your purpose is the right thing for us. So I ask you to bless tonight, Father. I pray you will bless and help me as I speak. And I pray that you'll bless our church family as they listen. And Father, may we leave here tonight rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, we seem to be bombarded today, literally from all angles, from every side, by the trials of life. The Bible tells us, the book of Job tells us, that man's days are few and full of trouble. And boy, that's true, isn't it? Our days are few and full of trouble. We seem like we just get over one thing in our lives, and then all of a sudden, some new set of problems just comes roaring out of nowhere and hits us square in the face. I have said to you many, many times through the years that that you are either in a trial right now, or you are just coming out of a trial right now, or you are on the verge of going into a trial just any day now. So we've got to be knowledgeable about what the Bible has to say about this thing of a trial. And since all of us face them, we need to know what the Bible has to say so that instead of being the victim, which so many folks are today, that we turn that victim mindset into a victory mindset. And instead of the victim, we become the victor. Now, someone came up to me years ago, when, and I can't even remember now who it was, but I was pastoring in Dixie, West Virginia, so it was many, many moons ago. And they came up to me, and I said to them, "Where have you been? We've been missing you." And she said to me, "Well, you know, preacher, I sure have had a run of bad luck lately. I sure have had a run of bad luck lately." Now, I really didn't know how to respond to that. And I just you know, kind of brushed it off. And then I got to thinking about it. And, you know, God's people do not live in the realm of good luck and bad luck. You know, we don't get up of a morning and flip a coin to see how our day is going to turn out. That's not what the way a Christian lives their life. We don't get up and read the horoscopes of the in the morning newspaper or on the internet and then figure out how our day is going to turn out. You know, Christians don't live that way. Christians live by the will of God. And we get in the Word of God in order to find out what is the will of God. And then we do the will that God reveals to us in His Word. So when some trial comes along, you ought to stop and think about it for a moment and realize what God is doing. And instead of getting discouraged, instead of getting down, instead of crawling in a hole somewhere and praying that somebody will come along behind you and pull the door shut so that you don't ever have to face anybody ever again, you ought to realize that the Lord is putting us through that trial for a purpose. There is a reason that God does in our lives what He does. I've also said to you many, many times that God never looks over the battlements of heaven at your life and then says, whoops. It just doesn't happen, folks. God knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what He has placed in your path. He knows what the devil is attacking you over. He knows how many hairs are on the top of your head. Now, granted, for some folks, that's not a big job. John. But, God knows the hair that is on your head. And so, so God's people need to realize that God is always working in our lives. We have a God who is constantly working in our individual lives, and sometimes God takes us through a period of trials so that He can strengthen us, so that He can teach us a lesson. Sometimes the trial is to chasten us. But you should not sit and think that every time you're faced with a trial that you are being chastened. You would need to get alone with God to figure that out. You would need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord. Don't go to all your friends. Your friends are going to give you the wrong information. I will guarantee you that. So what do you do? Well, you go to the Lord when you face the trial. You see, it is difficult for any of us to have to go through the trials. But realize that trials are for our good. God is preparing you for something. It may be for something down the road that He wants you to do. You just don't know. But that's where you get close to God. And that's what this wisdom in verse 5 is all about. When you go through the trial, you come to the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom so that you can discern why you are facing the situation that you are facing. So James says, count it all joy. Now, that, dear friends, is the hard part. That's the hard part right there. I mean, it may be difficult to be joyful when you have a broken heart. And I think God is aware of that. When you don't think you can even get up or you don't want to even try to function, listen, it's hard to face the world when you want to just crawl into a hole and give up, much less be joyful. But the Bible says that we are to count it all joy. Now, let me just remind you of something here, Christian. Does not our Bible speak to us about victory?
Amen.
It does all over the place. And we have these hymns in our hymn book that we sing on a regular basis. One of them is, "O Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." Another one is, "Faith is the victory." Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. And so, but it seems that victory is something that is just always out there beyond reach, doesn't it? It seems like joy is something that is out there just beyond reach. And no matter how hard we strive to get there, we just never seem to find it. So I want you to know that this whole book of James is designed to inspire us to move on for the Lord and to grow and to learn how to handle the Christian life. And one of the first things that James deals with is the matter of being tried in your faith. That is for a purpose. Now, let's take just a moment tonight and let's look at trials and let's look at what the Apostle James suggests that we do to secure victory instead of being devastated by everything that comes along in life. All right, look carefully, please, at verse 2. And I want you to notice here, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Right there is the first thing that you and I need to do when we go through a trial. You say, "Well, what's that?" Count. You mean like 1, 2, 3, 4? No. We are to count it. In other words, we are to view it. We are to see it as a joyful matter and not something that is going to ruin our lives or mess us up or destroy us. You shouldn't look at trials that way. That's what James is saying. He said, instead of counting it negatively, look at your trial and count it positively. Positively. We must trust in the Lord. That's what this patience thing is about in verse 3 and in verse 4. In verse 4, look at it. He said, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect." Now, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to be sinless. That's not what that's talking about. The idea for perfect here is the word that means basically mature, all right? "That ye may be mature and entire, wanting nothing." And so the whole idea is that trials are what develop us and what make us into the good Christian that God would have us be. It makes us into the person that the Lord wants us to become. In other words, folks, we need to have the right attitude, the right heart concerning trials. And you know them, and of course I know them. I deal with them all the time. But you know those folks who fall apart the minute a trial comes upon them. They just crash. Not only do they crash and they burn. And it is weeks sometimes, months sometimes, before these folks get their spiritual legs under them again. And sadly, though, because so many times they won't go to God with it, they won't trust the Lord in the trial, and what happens is they never learn the lesson. And so then they just have to go through it again. And so many Christians live their entire Christian life in that roller coaster, that up and down Christian life. All gung-ho and on fire for God one week, and then down in the dumps the next week. And it gets continues to get easier to stay down in the dumps than it does to stand up and lift yourself by your bootstraps and trust God and go on. And that's what we need to do, folks. That's what we need to do. Now, notice that God tells us in verse 2 that we are to expect trials. We're to expect them. Notice he does not say, if you come into trials. No, he says, when. It's coming. I mean, it's coming. Showing us that we are going to have our trials as we go through life. There is nothing we can do about it. We are going to have our trials. And folks, all of us have to face them. I have them. You have them. I mean, all of us have to go through the trials of life. And notice also that James says they're not all the same. They're not all alike. The trials are diverse, meaning different. The idea of that word diverse has the idea of various or of different kinds of. But that's not very good news, is it? Huh? That's not very good news, but nonetheless, that's life. That's just the way the mop flops. You can thank Adam and Eve for that when you get to heaven. All right? They're the one that plunged us into sin, and they're the reason that that God has to always be working on us to fashion us into the image of his dear son. And folks, the only way that many times that God can do that is through the trial. You'll get in the Word of God, and you'll start growing. You'll start coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you'll be reading your Bible every day. And you start growing. You start maturing. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes the trial. And we scratch our heads and we say, wow, God, I was doing so good. I was trying so hard to live the Christian life. But God says, yeah, I know, and I appreciate it, and I want you to just keep doing what you're doing. Don't get discouraged. Don't get weary in well-doing, as Paul put it. But instead, you just trust the Lord. And listen, Christian, the trial is not given to hurt us. The trial is given to help us. I've had people say to me, Pastor, God must be mad at me. Oh, no. No, no, no. On the contrary, you're having these trials, and that is proof that God loves you and that God is working in your heart and in your life, and that's why you ought to rejoice that God is doing something in your life. You know, folks, there are a lot of saved people, I'm convinced, a lot of saved people in the world, and they have allowed the trials of life to knock them down, and then they get up, and they get knocked down again, then they get up, and they get knocked down again, and then they get up, and they get knocked down again, and then they just stay down. And they quit church. Now, did they ask the Lord Jesus to save them? Sure they did. And so I think that they're saved. But when they get to heaven, they're going to walk in with their heads down, I can tell you that. They're not going to walk in rejoicing because they didn't live for the Lord. Oh, they're still going to get in. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But what we find so many times is folks get mad at God. They get bitter at God. I've had folks say to me, why did God take my wife? Why did God take my husband? And just folks just get angry at God. Folks, listen, the wages of sin is death. You need to realize that. We're all going to die. If the Lord tarries, his coming, we're all going to die. And so we need to realize that some of these trials, but they're not for your harm. They're for your good. God, in that situation, wants you to trust him. Not get mad, not get angry. And folks, the key word here is the little word count. Count. And that's what we need to do. Count. You remember in Philippians 3, Paul was talking about all the things that he said, you know, he was this and he was that, and he was a Pharisee, and he was, you know, from good stock, and he was from Jerusalem. He had all this education, and then he turned right around as he was evaluating things, and he said that I count all of this stuff as fertilizer. Dung. And that's fertilizer, folks. That's just a nice way of saying fertilizer. And Paul said all these accomplishments and all these degrees and all of these banners that I have, they don't mean anything. I count all of that as garbage. But when we face trials in life, and we evaluate them in the light of what God is doing for us, and when God allows a trial, realize that it is designed to reveal a strength or to show us what is already there. We just haven't figured it out yet, realized it yet. When we go through the trial and realize that trial has made us put more faith in God, then you can step back from it and you can count that it is for your benefit. See what I'm saying? Folks, I'm telling you, so many folks, as soon as the trial comes, what do? Run to this and run to that, and run to their best friend, and run to the psychiatrist or to the psychologist or to the counselor, or they run to the counseling center, or they run to the pastor's office, and they just, I need counseling. What you need is to count. You really don't need much counseling. You need to count. You need to learn to count. You see, folks, look here. When God puts you through the trials, that is a process. God is taking you from right here where you are, and he's trying to get you over here to where he wants you. Nod your head. You see what I'm saying? Now, how does he get you from over there to over here? Well, he can do it through his word, but he can also do it through a trial. And that trial, from when it begins until you learn and you get it, that is a process, folks. It may take several days, several weeks. It may take several months for you to go through that process. And what we do is we chafe in the process. But James says, don't chafe, count. Count it all joy. Don't get angry at God for the process. He knows what he's doing. Now, you may not know what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. And so you trust him and you just count it all joy. Count it all joy at what God is doing in your life. You see, when God allows the trial, it is designed to help you, not to hurt you. So enjoy the process. You say, Pastor, enjoy a trial? Sure. Sure. But you got to count. You got to think. And you got to say, wait a minute, this is not against me. This is for me. Amen. And just let God do in your life what he's wanting you to do. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, look down, please, at verse 3. All right, look at verse 3. And there's another little word here that'll help us. In verse 3, we have the word knowing. Knowing. First, you count. You count. You read your Bible, and you find out who God is. You find out God's ways, God's methods, God's process, if you will. And then once you learn that, and then what you need to do is you need to know. Well, what do I know? Well, we know that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Patience. You see, faith, and you check your Bible, you're going to find this is true. Faith is always tested. It's always tested. I mean, Old Testament, New Testament, faith is always tested. And the word here means this temptation. It means to try, to try. It is translated temptation here. It is the exact same word is translated testing in some other places, and the meaning depends on the one who is tempting. You see, the devil tempts you, but God tempts you too. But we understand God's temptations as trials, and the devil's temptations as just that. He's tempting us away from God. All right, but see the difference. All right, if it is God, it is for the purpose of proving someone, testing someone, and never for the purpose of causing that person to fall. All right, that's not the intent. And yet we see so many Christians who simply fall when the trial comes. Man, count it all joy. I mean, you know, just stop and realize that, wait a minute, the Lord is putting me through this. The Lord is working in my life. Wow. God, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the one that sent his only begotten son into this world, the God of heaven is working on little old me. Does that make sense to you? And man, if you just stop and remember that and think about that, then you're going to want to say, Lord, where are you trying to get me? So you count and then you know. All right? You know, the devil is going to try you or tempt you to sin or to go into sin, but God will never do that. God will never tempt you with sin. And you read that in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is not going to tempt you to sin. The devil is going to tempt you to sin. God is going to put you through a trial, a temptation, a trial, in order to bring you more into the image of his dear son. Amen. And that's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. And God will try your faith. When you remember when God called Abraham to live by faith, he tested Abraham in order to strengthen him and to build what faith he already had. And folks, testing works for us. It does not work against us. Trials work for the believer, not against the believer. You all know Romans 8:28, right? The Bible there says, and we what? Know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So all things work together for good, not for bad, not for evil. No, that's what the devil tries to do. But the trials that we have to go through, they all work for good. All right, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, thank God for the afflictions that we have to deal with. Folks, thank God for them. I mean, we need to rejoice in the trial instead of getting angry in the trial. Trials, rightly used, are going to help us mature in the Christian life. You see, what is God, through the trial, wanting you and me to learn? Patience. Right? That's what it says. All right? Look at your Bible. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. What is God trying to teach us? What does he want us to learn? Patience. Now, most of us don't have that characteristic trait. We don't have that character trait. You know, man, we want it now, you know. We don't want to wait. We want it now. Immature people are always impatient people. And that's the way immature Christians are, new Christians. They want to be a spiritual giant by Friday. And you're not going to be. You got to be patient. And God has to take you through the trial to get you to be that spiritual believer. But it takes time. It takes time. I told you all about when I was in Bible college, they had I had this class called Bible Doctrines. Everybody takes it their junior year, and it's where they teach you the faith. They teach you the faith. And one of the things that you have to do is you have to go to the bookstore and buy this stack of verse cards. All right? Verse cards. They're about that thick. And you had to memorize those verses throughout the two semesters that you were in Bible Doctrines. And you had anywhere from two to five or six verses or sets of verses that you had to memorize for whatever was being taught. And they had it all mapped out, you know, whatever the professor was teaching that week, you learned verses connected to it. And every Friday, you had the class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And every Friday, the guy that I had Dr. Jesse Boyd, he's in heaven now, He did the same thing all the time. And on Fridays, you'd go into class, and Dr. Boyd would say, "All right, take out a half sheet of paper, and here's a quiz." And he would make sure that we learned what we were supposed to learn that week. And then at the end of that quiz, he would then do this. He would say, "All right, you'll notice that these maps are pulled down." And of course, we would all notice, we knew what was behind that map. And he would pull it up, and when he did, there was the verse or the verses that he wanted us to write out on the back of our quiz. You had to have it perfect. Out of the King James Bible, none of the others worked. All right? So you had to memorize it and write it out. Write it out. And so they had them all on cards. And as the semester goes on, you get bogged down. You know? You get bogged down. And there are times when you just wonder, how am I going to get everything done? And then I had a job that I had to work. I was on night cleanup, and so from 9:30 until about 1 in the morning, I was over cleaning the administration building 6 nights a week. And so I just, you know, would go around running a sweeper and looking at those cards, and running a sweeper and looking at those cards and emptying a trash can and looking at those cards. I mean, you just had to constantly work at memorizing those verses. That thick, folks. That thick. And I remember thinking, you know, I remember learning about osmosis. And you know, maybe if I take this card and stick it in my pillow and lay my head down, it'll somehow or another ooze in. You know, that never worked, not one time. Not once did that work. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? You got to go through it. You've got to experience it. And folks, that is exactly the way the Christian life is. You have to experience and go through the trials that naturally come as God is developing you as a believer. That's why Paul said, don't get weary in well-doing. Now, knowing this, verse 3, knowing this, we can face the trials joyfully. Knowing this, we are now at a place where we will know what the trial will do for us, and we will know the end result. And the end result is that it will make us more like Christ. And when we become more like Christ, then all of a sudden we are more pleasing than ever to God. Does that make sense to you? So, Christian, listen, don't get weary in well-doing. I mean, you study the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David and Daniel and all the rest of them. Study their lives out of the Bible. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will realize that God has a purpose in trials. And you're in them. I'm in them. My goodness, that's all. It seems to me that that's about all I get done, is fighting the trials. And I get through one, and then I think, wow, okay, things are going to settle down a little bit. And they never do settle down. It's the beatenest thing I've ever seen. Used to get a little reprieve every now and then, but not lately. I'd say for the last many, many years, it's just one thing after another, isn't it? You say, well, why is that, Pastor? Well, if you go over to the book of the Revelation, you're going to find out that Satan is busy because he knows that he has but a short time. He knows we're getting down to the wire. And that's why he's after each and every one of us. The trials. Folks, let's learn how to deal with them. And let's turn trials into triumphs. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, thank you now for the word. And I pray that you will help us to take these thoughts tonight and just make up our minds. We're going to count and we're going to know. We're going to know. We're going to know how to deal with the trial. We're going to know that you have a purpose in it. And Father, help us not to get discouraged or not to get bitter in the process, but Father, to trust you and to grow so that we can become more like the Lord Jesus. And so Father, speak to hearts. We just ask you to touch our hearts and bless our folks tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you, how many of you here tonight will say, "Preacher, I needed that. I needed that. I'm going through it, and I needed that. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand all over this building, all over the building? Amen. God bless you. Many, many hands. And I figured so. I got mine up. I got mine up too. Yes, indeed. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. All right, Father, you know our hearts tonight. You saw every hand that was raised. And Father, we're all going through it. We're all facing some different little trial. But Father, help us to count them all joy and not to let them ruin our happiness and take away our joy. Not let them destroy us as a person. But Father, help us to live so that the trial turns into triumph. Bless now, we ask, and give us your strength. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.